الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. وبعد، respected listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome all of you once again. My name is Muhammad ibn Adam, to this daily program on the topic of Islamic manners. Time is short now. We started off with having an hour and a half. We are now more or less just over an hour we have before the time of iftar, maybe an hour now. So therefore, we need to haste. We have this book in front of us, which we have been studying together, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Min Adab al-Islam, Islamic manners, etiquettes, mannerism, written by the famous renowned Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah. We've been discussing various points over the past few days. If you recall, yesterday we were discussing the point, the etiquette, the adab, which deals with something that we may think it's very basic, very obvious, or maybe very petty. But remember, these etiquettes and these adab and these rules and the guidance given by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they can never be considered to be petty or basic or simple. Rather, these are very important issues. These are etiquettes that are extremely vital for a peaceful, for a harmonious society, for a good family relationship, for the good positive impact on a family relationship. So anyway, these were the basic etiquettes. I mean, these are the basic etiquettes that we are discussing. And yesterday, if you recall and if you remember, we were discussing the point that if a person was to enter and wanted to enter upon the private areas and the private rooms of any of his or her family members, then that person should seek permission before entering. We were talking about seeking permission. I mean, the day before we talked about, you know, how to knock the door, and then we talked about greeting and salam. And this etiquette, which we discussed yesterday in great depth and detail, and which I hoped to complete yesterday, and it's more or less completed. I just have two more paragraphs to read from the book. It's just a repetition. It's just another quote, which I will read to emphasize this point, and then I'll quickly move on and swiftly move on to the next etiquette and the next point. But just to recap, the point we were discussing yesterday was that if a person wants to enter, even within his own house or her own house, whether he wants to enter his parents' room, mother's room, father's room, brothers, sisters, siblings, and even children, grown-up children. Remember, grown-up children who are grown up and they have their own privacy. The whole point yesterday was about the importance of respecting people's privacies. Islam places a great deal of emphasis on respecting the privacies of other people. Seriously, in a general sense, brothers and sisters, there's so much guidance given in the ahadith by the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in regards to this. Seriously, just not just specifically when we are entering people's rooms, but as I said, in a general sense, we can collect many hadiths of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the guidance of the Quran, in terms of and in relation to respecting the privacies of other people. Like, for example, even covering people's wrongs and evils. من ستر عيباً ستر الله عيوبه يوم القيامة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم says in one hadith, whoever hides, covers, conceals the ills, the defects, the sins, the wrongdoings of other people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover that person's wrongdoings on the Day of Judgment. We all know what we do. We all have ills. We've all committed sins. Okay, we all have things that we need to hide. And if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and our Creator, the Knower of the Unseen, who has knowledge of everything we do, if we want Him to cover and conceal our sins in the hereafter, then we should be prepared to cover people's faults in this world. So in a general sense, Islam places a lot of emphasis on hiding the privacies, in respecting other people's privacies, in covering the faults of other people, in respecting people's privacies. In a general sense, as I said, brothers and sisters, like one hadith I mentioned, you know, we are not permitted, it's unlawful according to the rules of Islam, to spread rumors about people. Why? Because you are affecting somebody else's privacy. Even if somebody was to, why is backbiting haram? You know, backbiting is not false information about someone, it's actually correct information about somebody. There's a famous hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he forbade backbiting and he said to the companions, he said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَ? Do you know what backbiting is? So the companions, radiallahu anhum, they said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and His Messenger knows best. So he said, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. The definition of backbiting is you mentioning something about your brother or sister, you know, we can include or sister, that which he dislikes. Mentioning anything about someone that they would dislike you to mention. If you know that that person wouldn't want you to talk about him in this way, that's backbiting. And as you know, backbiting, ghiba, it's one of the greatest, if not probably the greatest sin in Islam. Right? Now, the companions, radiallahu anhum, sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, one of them asked, you know, they asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, إِن كَانَ فِي أَخِي مَا أَقُولُ أَرَأَيْتَ إِن كَانَ فِي أَخِي مَا أَقُولُ. O Messenger of Allah, what's your opinion? Tell us, you know, what about the situation where if a person talks about someone, backbites, but about something that is true, that really is found in that person. You know, there's a person who's a druggie, for example. Yeah, he's always taking drugs. Now, you're backbiting, you're talking about him, he's like this, and he's a bad geezer, and he's like this, and he's evil, and he does this, or this person is involved in fornication. So you talk to other people, you want to spread some rumor about him, or you want to spread, even if it's the truth, you want to spread about him that he's involved in fornication, etc., etc. This was a question of the Sahabi. What about if that person actually truly is involved in what I'm saying about him? Is that still backbiting? So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that is what is backbiting. That's if that's not backbiting, then what is backbiting? He said that is what's backbiting. He said فَقَدْ اِغْتَبْتَهُ إِن كَانَ فِي أَخِيكَ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ اِغْتَبْتَهُ. And he said that if you talk about someone in a false manner, if that thing is not found in that person, if he's not really involved in it, then that's not backbiting, then that's called فَقَدْ بَهَدْتَهُ. Then you have falsely accused that person. That's false accusation. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, he differentiated between backbiting, which is called غِيبَة in Arabic, and false accusation, which is called بُهْتَان. فَقَدْ اِغْتَبْتَهُ فَقَدْ بَهَدْتَهُ. Ghiba and Buhtan, two separate things. Both are evil things, evil practices. Both are sinful practices, great sins, grave sins. But the difference is, backbiting is when you talk about someone behind his back, that which he just dislikes, and you talk about him truthfully. You talk about something which he is actually involved in. And buhtan is false accusation when you talk about someone which, about something which they are not involved in, right? So, why is backbiting haram? Again, trying to cover up somebody else's sin. Trying to cover up. Islam places a lot of emphasis. You know, we can look through hadith after hadith and the guidance given to us by the Quran. Allah says, إِيَّاكُمْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِمُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْدَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. There's another verse in the, this is another hukam, the verdict in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not become a spy. Jasus, tajassus, tajassasu in Arabic. This is a verse in the Quran. Do not spy on people. Don't go and try to spy who's doing what. Don't try to spy if somebody's involved in a sinful activity. Don't become a spy. Here, Allah has commanded us. لا تجسسوا. That's not your job. That's not my job to go and spy on people. Doing, or are they doing some sinful activity or not? This is not the job of Muslims. Right? وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا تَحَسَّسُوا. That's mentioned in the hadith. Why? Again, because respecting people's privacies. We don't live in a big brother house where everything, we're watched everything. Islam is against this whole concept. Islam teaches respecting people's privacies. Islam teaches people respecting people's privacies. Why is eavesdropping haram? A major sin, a grave sin, absolutely, totally, categorically forbidden in Sharia, eavesdropping. Why? Again, because you're listening to someone against their wishes. You're listening to the conversation of someone against that person's wishes. So, anyway, the summary, without going into too much detail, the summary is that all these laws and rules of Islam, they point to one thing. In a general sense, respecting people's privacies. Respecting people's privacies. Don't become too nosy. Islam doesn't like nosy people. And that some of the etiquettes are going to come, inshallah. Maybe we're going to talk about them in a few pages. But Islam doesn't like nosy people. Who's doing what and why and how much he's earning and how much she's earning and where his, what is his job and who, oh, you know. Sometimes some people have a habit to want to know everything about your private life. Seriously, I mean, just mind your own business. You know, why do you want to know all the details of somebody's private life? Some people actually have fun, you know, they thrive on wanting to know the details of, yes, what did your granddad have for breakfast and what happened at home and does he now walk or is he able? I'm not saying sometimes people ask, you know, in an very good, you know, way, in a genuine manner, you know, how's the health of your parents, everything okay home, inshallah, to a certain degree, alhamdulillah, it's fine, to a certain degree, and with the intention that if you need something, then I will help, but some of us, we don't want to really help, we don't want to really do anything, we're just nosy, seriously, we're just nosy, we stand on street corners outside the mosques, and then want to stare at who's doing what and who's driving which car and where did he buy his car from and where, how did he get the money to buy this car? Well, yesterday he was driving this car. Just mind your own business, seriously. This is against the rules of Islam. Sorry for being frank here, but seriously, this is against the teachings and the spirit and the ruh of Sharia. Being nosy is not part and parcel of the Islamic teachings. Islam, as I said, respect people's privacies. Mind your own businesses. Seriously. So this is what even this particular point that we were discussing yesterday is from the same principle of respecting the privacies of other individuals. And this is why the Sheikh, the author here, Sheikh Abdul Fattah, rahimahullah, he went into great detail and endorsed his point by quoting many hadiths and many reports from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum as well as the Tabi'een, Tabi'un radiallahu anhum, about ensuring that when a person enters another person's room, he takes permission. We said yesterday, what did he say? We go back to the book. He said, look, if some of your family members are resting in their rooms and you want to enter, then seek permission so that you don't see them in a condition that you don't want to see them in. You don't want to see them in an inappropriate situation, because you'll embarrass them, you'll surprise them. People, you know, somebody could be changing their clothes in the middle of their room, somebody could be doing something, anything, you know, for that matter. Then they'll just have to quickly, you know, move, and they maybe read, you know, not just that, you know, they could be doing, we're not saying that they could be involved in some sinful activity. I mean, no, we're saying they could be involved in some legal, halal, permissible activity, but they don't want you to know. It's their private, something that's private between them and, you know, someone else, or maybe just between them and their Allah, their Lord. So we need to respect people's privacies. And this is why he quoted many instances, like the hadith in the Mu'atta from Malik, where a companion asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do I need to even ask permission before entering my mother's room? So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, seek permission, ista'adhin alayha. And then he asked again. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, I serve her. I have to always keep on attending to her and take, you know, I look after her. So every time I go to her room, do I need to ask permission? He said, yes, seek permission. Okay? And then the Messenger, he wasn't getting the message. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the person, do you want to see her naked? He asked again, so he said, do you want to see her naked? He said, of course not, Ya Rasulullah. So he said, then seek permission. This is the reason why I'm telling you that every time you go, seek permission, even if it's your mother's room. So whether it's your mother's room, whether it's your sister's room, your brother's room, your parents' room, as I said yesterday, the only exception is when you share a room with someone, especially husband, wife, when you share a room, then you don't have to always keep on seeking permission before entering the room. But if there are brothers and sisters, or maybe siblings, two sisters, it's good. It's recommended, even if you're in the same room, then you should just let them know. You don't have to, as I said yesterday as well, you don't have to stand there and knock there and wait there and, you know, like for 5 minutes. Otherwise, your life will be delayed. What this means is that just let them know. You don't want to just embarrass them, surprise them. Even if you are two sisters and you share the same room, then if your other sister is in the room before you and if she's left the door fully open, then you know that there's nothing to ask. But if you know, we have to use common sense in these situations. If she's closed the door, okay, and she may have forgotten to lock the door, she's changing her clothes or something, so just quick knock, may I come in, just quick knock, may I come in, you know, it's okay, can I just come in? So it'll give her the option to say, no, wait a minute, just give me a minute. Okay, so these are just basic etiquettes. Very important that we practice them and bring them into our lives. And then there was one coach yesterday about training children. We should train children as well. And there was a quote from the Tabi'i, who was the son of the Sahabi, Musa bin Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, who said that, I entered with my father in my mother's room. I was walking my father, and my father suddenly entered in his room, which is his mother's room, and I followed. So he turned around, placed his hand on my chest, and forcefully made me to sit down. And then he said, you know, are you entering without permission? You know, you're just entering, I'm entering the room, but you need to ask permission that, can I come in? Training young children from a young age. Subhanallah, this is how we need to train our children. That was the last quote, and there's two more quotes here which I want to read, and then that's the end of this point, and then we'll move on to the next point, which is an extremely important point, and that's the point that we're going to discuss inshallah in more detail today. So the author here says, وَحَكَى إِبْنُ جُرَيْجٍ عَنْ أَطَاءِ إِبْنِ أَبِي رَبَاحٍ قَالْ سَأَلْتُ بْنَ عَبَّاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَىٰ أُخْتِي قَالَ نَعَمْ قلت إنهما في حجري يعني في بيتي وعهدتي وأنا أمونهما وأنفق عليهما قال أتحب أن تراهما عريانتين ثم قرأ وإذا بلغ الأطفال منكم الحلم فليستأذنوا كما استأذن الذين من قبلهم قال ابن عباس فالإذن واجب على الناس كلهم. Ibn Jurayj relates from Ata ibn Abi Rabah, who says, I asked Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, the great Sahabi Abdullah ibn Abbas. I asked him, who was the Sahabi, the companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I asked him, Ata ibn Abi Rabah is one of the main students of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He was a tabi'i, the student of the Sahabi. His name is Ata ibn Abi Rabah. He was the student of who? Abdullah ibn Abbas. Relates a lot of knowledge from Abdullah ibn Abbas. So he says here that I asked my teacher Abdullah ibn Abbas, the great Sahabi, do I need to seek permission before entering my sister's room? My two sisters, ala ukhtayya. Astaadhinu ala ukhtayya. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said yes. So Atta ibn Rabah says that, and then I asked him, I said to him that look, innahuma fi hijri, they are both in my guardianship. They are both in my care. I'm like their father. I look after them. I have to, you know, they're in my care. So do I still need to take permission? And he said, and I provide for them, I spend over them. Meaning they are in my custody, in my care, my two young sisters. Do I still have to ask permission before entering their room? So again, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he used the same kind of phrase that Sayyiduna Rasulullah, the beloved messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used when, you know, that other individual who wasn't getting the message and kept on asking the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, look, do I need to seek permission before entering my mother's room? He said, yes. So he said, but I look after her, I take care of her. He said, yes. He kept on asking. So the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? Do you want to see her naked? So Abdullah ibn Abbas here as well said, do you want to see them both naked? So that the message is embedded and understood properly. And then Abdullah ibn Abbas recited the verse of the Quran which I translated yesterday from Surah An-Nur, where Allah said that وَإِذَا بَلَغَ الْأَطْفَالُ مِنْكُمُ الْحُلُمُ فَلْيَسْتَأْذِنُوا كَمَا اسْتَأْذَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. When children reach puberty, then they must seek permission as well from now on as the people before them were seeking permission. Yesterday I mentioned, remember, that the young children, the really extremely young children, they were exempted from taking permission. They have been exempted from this general ruling of seeking permission. However, the Quran in that verse said that there are three times of extreme privacy when even young children have to ask permission. مِنْ قَبْلِ صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ وَحِينَ تَضَعُونَ ثِيَابَكُمْ مِنَ الظَّهِيرَةِ وَمِنْ بَعْدِ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ. When you sleep after Isha, when you're sleeping just before Fajr, and in the afternoon when you are taking an afternoon nap. Even young children, but generally young children don't have to. And this verse says that when these young children, when they reach puberty, this is in Surah An-Nur, ayah verse number 59. Surah Nur, the Surah Light of Light, okay, Surah An-Nur, verse 59. If somebody wants to check the verses up. So Allah mentions this clearly that you have to take permission. And Abdullah ibn Abbas read and recited this verse. And then after reciting this verse, he said, seeking of permission is wajib, is necessary upon everybody. SubhanAllah. So this is a clear evidence. And finally, the author, the Sheikh, ends this point with one more quote before moving on to the next point, where he says, وَقَالَ إِبْنُ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ يَسْتَأْذِنُ الرَّجُلُ عَلَىٰ أَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَأُخْتِهِ وَقَالَ جَابِرٌ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يَسْتَأْذِنُ الرَّجُلُ عَلَىٰ وَلَدِهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ عَجُوزًا وَأَخِيهِ وَأُخْتِهِ وَأَبِيهِ روى أكثر هذه الآثار البخاري في كتابه الأدب المفرد وروى بعضها ابن كثير في تفسيره عند هذه الآية الكريمة السابقة الذكر. He says, سيدنا عبد الله بن مسعود, another Sahabi. We just talked about عبد الله بن عباس. عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه. He says that a man should take permission before entering his father's room, his mother's room, his brother's room, and his sister's room. The Sahabi Jabir radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, another Sahabi, he says, SubhanAllah, all quotes from all these Sahabas about the same point. He says, a man must seek permission before even entering ala waladihi, even his children's room. This is an extra point here. Even your children. But remember, grown-up children. If you have extremely young children, like 4 years old, 5, 6, 7, then of course, you know, common sense will prevail there that, you know, you need to go into their room. But if they've grown up slightly, they've reached puberty or just before puberty, even they are close to puberty, then at least, you know, not seek permission as in, oh, can I come in? But, you know, just inform them. Let them know that, you know, you are about to enter. They may be changing clothes. Once they start covering themselves, you know, from even, like, for example, there's a daughter, 10 years old daughter, and the father wants to enter the room, then the father should make his presence known to his daughter. You know, she could be changing clothes or whatever. Mother, of course, has more kind of concession given there and a bit more leniency. When common sense will prevail in these rulings, and you yourself will know the actual rulings here. So a man should seek permission. Jabir radiallahu anhu says a man should seek permission before entering upon his children and his mother, even if she's old. In kanat ajuz, and even if you have an old mother, still you have to seek permission. And then he says, وَأَخِيهِ, even his brother, sister, and even his father. And finally, I think we'll take a break, inshallah. By the end of, I was thinking of moving on to the next point, but it's nearly 7. So, just this last translation of this line, he says that all these reports, athar in Arabic are reports, you know, athar is also, a hadith is also called athar. So, a report from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or a sahabi, or a tabi'i, anything related, these are called athar. So the author says here, all these reports, like the report we read just now of Jabir, something reported from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, just previous to that, something reported from Abdullah ibn Abbas, previous to that yesterday, you know, Musa ibn Talha, something reported from him, then we reported something from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, you know, when a man came and asked him about, you know, seeking permission before entering his mother's room. Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman. All these reports, athar, have been related by Imam al-Bukhari, okay, in his book Al-Adab al-Mufrad. I talked about Al-Adab al-Mufrad just briefly, if you remember, a few days ago, which is a book in which the great Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, rahimahullah wa radi anhu, the famous Imam al-Bukhari, he has compiled all these narrations, prophetic statements, narrations, as well as reports from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, relating to adab and adab only. So Imam, if you want to see many of these reports, they are found in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, which has also been translated in English, as I mentioned before. And some of them have been reported by Imam Ibn Kathir in his tafsir, in his commentary, in his exegesis of the Qur'an, when he was commentating on this verse of the Qur'an, وَإِذَا بَلَغَ الْأَطْفَالُ مِنْكُمْ الْحُلُمْ inshallah. So we will take a break here now, inshallah. And then after the break, we'll come back, we'll move on to the next point. It's a very important point. So please stay with me, don't go, and inshallah, this is a very important adab and etiquette that we will be discussing after the break, which is knocking and ringing on somebody's door. So inshallah, until the break, I'll see you after the break, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, dear listeners. Now we move on to the next point. Very important adab, extremely important etiquette. This point is extremely important. And in the next half an hour or so, I'll try my best to, inshallah, explain this adab, this etiquette, this command and ruling and injunction of Sharia, this guidance given to us by the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. But even half an hour will be less, but I will try my best. I will not able to do justice to this point. This whole point is about the rules of knocking and ringing on somebody's door. When we go to visit other people, how we should knock, how many times we should knock, what should we not do and what should we do. Okay, this is very important. Again, privacy, going back to privacy. So this is about knocking and ringing. Let's read the text of the book in Arabic that I have in front of me, and then inshallah we'll explain, elaborate. He says, the author, Shaykh rahimahullah, إِذَا طَرَقْتَ بَابَ أَخِيكَ أَوْ صَدِيقِكَ أَوْ أو بعض معارفك أو أحد تقصده فدق الباب دقا رفيقا يعرفه وجود طارق بالباب ولا تدقه بعنف وشدة كدق الظلمة والزبانية فتروعه وتخل بالأدب. When you knock on somebody's door, when you knock on the door of your brother, the author is saying, when you knock on the door of your brother, meaning your friend, your Muslim brother or sister, or your friend, or anyone you know, and this is not just knocking. The word here in Arabic has been used, taraq, taraqta, taraq. Taraq yatruqu means taraq, means in Arabic to knock. You know, in Arabic we have like a few words. We have daqun, taraq al-bab means to knock on the door. Daq al-bab also means to knock on the door. Qara'a, yaqra'u, qar'un also means to knock on the doors. Few kind of words that have been used in the Arabic language. So here the author is saying that if you knock on your friend, your brother, your relative, somebody's house, you when you go to somebody's house and you want to knock, then how should you knock? And this is not just knocking, we can extend this to ringing as well and using of the bell. So he says, when you knock, how should you knock? Knock, دق الباب دقا رفيقا. Knock on somebody's door extremely gently. دقا رفيقا. Don't go and bang on somebody's door like bang, bang, bang. Some people have this so inhumane habit of going on banging on somebody's door. Subhanallah, I am not joking. I've experienced this. This is wrong according to the teachings of Islam. Seriously, we don't even think about these things. That the problem is that many of us don't think. We just think Islam is about set of certain rules like prayer, fasting, zakat, hajj, umrah, that's it. And I've dressed like a Muslim, I've kept a beard, and I've covered my head, face, and I'm a good Muslim, and a Muslim, and that's it. So, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, everything is done and dusted with. Brothers and sisters, Islam is much more than what we think Islam is. It teaches us how to be a human being. Imagine, these are the rules of knocking on somebody's door. We could think ourselves to be practicing, but we go on people's door and bang, bang, bang with our fist. Totally against the teachings of the beloved of Allah. Completely in contradiction with the guidance of Sharia. Utterly in contradiction with the teaching of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That's not how he would knock, and that's not how his Sahaba companions would knock. People using their fists to knock on somebody's door, bang, bang, bang. Subhanallah, that is not Islam. Seriously, that is not Islam. Look what he says here. Knock somebody's door in a gentle manner. That tells him, that informs him that somebody's on the door. يُعَرِّفُهُ وُجُودَ طَارِقٍ بِالْبَابِ. The only aim and objective here is that we want the occupant of the house, the one inside of the house, to know that somebody's on the door. That's the only aim and objective. Okay? Yeah, if your aim and objective is something else, that you have a grudge against that person and you want to scare him, really. Yeah? Or you want to put the message across or something like that, then that's a different story and that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that anyway. But we are talking about normal people who go normally to, you know, with a normal intention and a normal objective in mind of just knocking on somebody's door with the normal intention. We're not talking about abnormal intentions and abnormal people. We are talking about normal people who just want to go and knock on somebody's door to notify the person that, look, somebody's on your door. If you have that intention, then the only objective and aim and goal is that that person is able to hear. Now that person is able to hear, a small gentle knock, a ring, a bell will be easy for that person to hear. You don't need to bring the house down. Seriously, honestly, some people have this major problem. We need to sort the situation out. So do not knock more than what's necessary. Do not knock louder than necessary. We have the normal knocks, just knock, that's it. Not louder than necessary. Even the ring, don't keep on ringing. Ding, ring, 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 ring. A'udhu billah. It's wrong. Just one small touch on the ring bell. And that's fine. The author says, don't knock violently. Bi'unfin. Don't knock loudly, like the knocking of the oppressors, the cruel people, valama, valim. The author is saying the one who knocks violently, forcefully, he bangs on the door, this person is a valim. You know what a valim is? An oppressor. The one who does dhulm, oppression. Don't become like some kind of a oppressive person. Don't knock like the knocking of the oppressive. This is in the book. That's not from me. It's from the book. And somebody who's fierce. You see, he used, subhanAllah. You know, the author here has used the word zabaniya. Kadaqqi dhalamati wa zabaniya. Do not knock like the knocking of cruel people or the knocking of zabaniya. You know, zabaniya has been mentioned in the Quran. Zabaniya is a term used for those angels who throw people into the fire of hell. And the author here, Sheikh Abdul Fattah, rahimahullah, he's used the same term. The ones who come and knock on people's door loudly are like those angels who want to take you into the fire of hell. Subhanallah. So don't knock like that, he says. And then he says, فَتُرَوِّعَهُ وَتُخِلَّ بِالْأَدَبِ. Because you will frighten him. And you will be overlooking. You are not practicing and implementing this teaching and adab and etiquette of Islam. Okay? So, this is wrong. And also, brothers and sisters, a point here that I remembered. Some people, you know, they have a habit of knocking on your window. Subhanallah. The window is not for knocking, brother, sister. It's not for knocking. Some of these things come, you know, they're culturally, they come down from, I don't know where they come down from. But we're not supposed to do that. We have to, and this is why we're having this lesson on the radio, because we have to learn about these issues. This is what Islam teaches us. Let alone knocking forcefully and banging on somebody's door, some people go and bang on your window. Subhanallah, you know, they come, bang, bang on your window. And you know the worst cases, you know what, even worse than that? This might bring a smile to your face, but the worst, even worse than that, is when people start looking through the window. Why isn't he opening the door? It's his house. He might want to open it. He might be busy. He doesn't want to open the door. It's not your God-given right that he lets you in. It's, the next page, the author is actually talking about that. That look, when somebody doesn't open the door, you just go. And this is mentioned in the hadith. You just go, which I will mention the hadith. Return. If it's his house, it's his domain. If he wants to open, if she wants to open, it's up to her, it's up to him. Right? So some people, as I was saying, we're talking about knocking here. Some people are banging on the window and then trying to peep, look through the letterbox. Are the shoes inside? Yeah, the shoes are inside. So what if their shoes are inside or not inside? It's up to them. It's their house. They want to open. They don't want to open. It's completely up to them. I came from 10 minutes, I walked for 15 minutes. Who told you to walk? That's your own program. You know, you took it upon yourself to walk. That's your, you know, decision. If you wanted to walk all that way and come, it's, that person is not obliged to open the door. Okay, you should have phoned beforehand. And that's another important point as well, which we'll talk about inshallah soon in one of the points, of informing people beforehand before you go to their house. Okay, we have this major problem. People just turn up on your door anytime, every time, whether it's 11 at night, whether it's iftar time, you know. Like one brother was telling me that somebody just 10 minutes after Maghrib came to sit down at his house. Iftar time, come on, you know, haven't you kept a fast? Everybody's eating iftar. Subhanallah, you know, these things. Anyway, but that's another topic which we'll come to. I don't want to get out of my topic. I just want to stick to this knocking. So knock gently. And then, this was a sunnah of the Sahaba, as I said. But he says, and then he quotes something. He says, جَاءَتِ مَرَأَةٌ إِلَى الْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدَ بْنِ حَنْبَلْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لِتَسْأَلَهُ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِنْ أُمُورِ الدِّينِ وَدَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الْبَابَ دَقًّا فِيهِ بَعْضُ الْعُنْفِ فَخَرَجَ وَهُوَ يَقُولُ هَذَا دَقُّ الشُّرَطِ جَمْعُ شُرْطِ. He raked something from the great Imam. We talked about this great Imam many times. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. A woman came to his house to ask him something about the matters of deen, about some matter of religion, to ask him a question. So a woman came to his house to ask this great Imam a question. And when she came to his house, she knocked on his door, banged on his door, in which there was some sort of عنف, violence. There was some kind of, you know, like extreme in it, extreme in it. She, you know, force in it. So she must have banged the door with a bit of force. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, in order to teach that sister, that woman, a lesson, he came out of his house and he said, "This is how the police knock. I thought the police had come to my house." Okay, just to teach her a lesson, because that's not how normal people knock. Not to say that the police are not normal, because, I mean, they have a different objective. You know, if they want to raid your house, that's a different objective. This, if you've just come to, you know, knock, the, as I mentioned, the intention behind knocking normally is to notify the person in the house that there is somebody at your door. Nothing more than that. That's the whole purpose, aim, objective, goal, and aim. Okay? So, that means that we should not be knocking louder than that which is needed. Nothing more than that which is needed. And then the author says, the sheikh says here, وَقَدْ كَانَ الصَّحَابَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ يَقْرَعُونَ بَابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِالْأَظَافِرِ رواه البخاري في الأدب المفرد أدبا منهم مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. Subhanallah. And then the author Shaykh here, he's relating about the Sahaba, the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. What was their practice? How would they knock? They are our role models. And ultimately the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم is our role model, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says the Sahaba, companions, may Allah be pleased with them, they would knock on the door of the beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the tips of their fingers. Bil avafir. Dhufrun jam'uhu avafir. Fingernails. You can say tip of the fingers and fingernails. You know, like, I don't know if you can hear this sound, but it's like that. You know, just knocking with the fingernails, not with the finger, you know, with the thumb or with the fist. They would knock with the tip of their fingers, meaning the fingernails, just very subtle kind of knocking. This has been related by Imam al-Bukhari in his book Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and the Sahaba would do this out of respect for the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that the hadith is related by Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says, أَنَّ أَبْوَابَ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wasallam كَانَتْ تُقْرَعُ بِالْأَظَافِيرِ. That the doors of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam were knocked by using the tips of the fingers or using the fingernails. So that's how we should be knocking. Okay, we have standard knocks right now. We have a standard, I mean, that time they never used to have those rings and bells. So that's why, okay, but now if we have the standard, you know, bells or ringing the bell, and we have the standard knocks, then we just use them, but in a very subtle, calm, gentle way, as a nice, gentle man. A nice, gentle human being that you are going to somebody's house for a visit, and you are not some police officer that's going to raid their property, or you're not some kind of oppressor, no, not some kind of an angel who wants to throw this person into the fire of hell. Remember that you are a visitor. We must remember, brothers and sisters, that we are visitors, and we are not an oppressor raiding someone's house, and we don't intend to frighten the occupants of that house. Then the Shaykh says, وَهَذَا الدَّقُّ اللَّطِيفُ الرَّفِيقُ مَطْلُوبٌ فِي مَنْ كَانَ جُلُوسُهُ قَرِيبًا مِنْ بَابِهِ وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَعُدَ عَنِ الْبَابِ فَيُقْرَعُ عَلَيْهِ قَرْعًا يَسْمَعُهُ فِي مَكَانِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ عُنْفِ وَسَبَقَ ذِكْرُ الْحَدِيثِ الشَّرِيفِ إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ ولا ينزع من شيء إلا شانه. وقال أيضا عليه الصلاة والسلام من يحرم الرفق يحرم الخير كله رواه مسلم. And then he says that this gentle, soft kind of knocking, extremely subtle, soft kind of knocking, is required when somebody is sitting close to the door. So you have to use common sense. You see, the whole aim, as I said, is to notify, let the person know that somebody's on your door. So if you know that this person is able to hear this knock, then you'll be very, very soft. If you know that, if you think that somebody is a bit far in the house, like meaning, in some, you know, it's like a massive quarter, that they're living in a big quarter. So there are different rooms and the house, the main door is here, or you're at the gate, for example, and they're inside, then of course there's a need. Then you'll have to knock a bit louder so that they are able to hear. So we have to use our common sense. If we know that there's a ring here, and if you ring the bell here, they will listen to it inside, then you know that you don't have to do it more than that which is necessary. So we just have to use common sense. But he says here that if somebody is sitting far away from the door, then yes, it is permissible to knock in a way that is enough for him to be able to hear it, without banging too loudly, but a bit more than the extremely soft kind of knocking. And then he finishes off this paragraph by quoting two hadiths. He said, we've mentioned this hadith, and this has come before as well, that softness is not found, gentleness is not found in anything except it adorns it. I explained this hadith last week, if you remember. That any person who has gentleness in them, then it adorns them. This is an internal beauty. And never is this gentleness taken away from someone except that it tarnishes them. You know, you look ugly in the sight of other people if you don't have this gentleness about you. And the other hadith, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this is a hadith in Sahih Muslim, whoever may yuhram al-rifqa, yuhram al-khayra kullah. Whoever is deprived from gentleness, whoever is deprived from softness, is deprived from all good. According to us, the beauty of a man and a woman is their softness, is their gentleness. Okay? Not force and aggression and aggressiveness and violence. Okay, then he moves on to the next point. Same point, but just things related to it. وَيَنْبَغِي أَن تَجْعَلَ بَيْنَ الدَّقَّتَيْنِ زَمَنًا غَيْرَ قَلِيلٍ لِيَفْرُغَ الْمُتَوَضِّئُ مِنْ وُضُوئِهِ فِي مَهْلٍ وَلِيَنْتَهِيَ الْمُصَلِّي مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ فِي مَهْلٍ وَلِيَفْرُغَ الْآكِلُ مِنْ لُقْمَتِهِ فِي مَهْلٍ وَقَدَّرَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ الْإِنْتِظَارَ بَيْنَ الدَّقَّتَيْنِ بِمِقْدَارِ صَلَاةِ أَرْبَعِ رَكَعَاتٍ إِذْ قَدْ يَكُونُ فِي بَدْءِ طَرْقِيقَ الْبَابَ قَدْ بَدْأَ بِصَلَاتِهَا. Amazing point. The Sheikh says here now that, look, we've learned how to knock in a very soft manner, not bang and bring the house down, okay? Now, the etiquette is that how much time we should wait between each knocks. The next point is we should only be knocking three times, okay? But the interval between the two knocks, we should be waiting. So he says that it's appropriate that we should leave a gap, some space, some time between two knocks or between the two rings. Good, adequate time should be given between the two knocks. So you knock once softly. Then wait. I mean, I'm not saying wait for a long time, but wait. The Sheikh is saying wait for a while. Not just bang, 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 bang. No. Knock silent. Have some patience. Have some sabr. Relax. Take it easy. Okay, you know. Come on. Calm down. Wait. Wait for a few seconds. 10, 15, 20 seconds. Maybe 30 seconds. And you know what the recommended time is, which you will get quite shocked. But if somebody can practice that, alhamdulillah. He says here, that I'll tell you what that recommended is. It's coming in the next line anyway. So, but he says here that, look, give some time. Don't rush. Give some time, okay? So that, for example, if somebody is doing wudu, they are able to finish. Like, you might be knocking and they are doing wudu, so that at least they can complete the wudu. Somebody might be in the washroom, in the toilet. You're banging. Why isn't he opening the door? Give some time. Relax. He'll come. He's probably in the shower. He's in the bathroom. She's in the toilet. She'll probably come out. So give some time so that a person can complete the wudu if they're doing wudu. If somebody is offering the salah, then they can offer the salah without rushing. If somebody is eating, then they can finish off that morsel of food that they are eating without rush. They don't have to quickly rush. The one in salah doesn't have to rush. So give some time. And this is the recommended time period between two knocks. He says, قَدَّرَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Some of the ulama scholars estimated this time between the two knocks to be that of offering four rak'ats of prayer. Subhanallah. That's like 5 minutes. You know why they said this? Is because you might knock just soon as after that person has started his salah. He's just went, Allahu Akbar, Subhanakallahumma bihamdika tabarak smuk, and then he started Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and you've knocked. Now he has to finish four raka'at of dhuhr prayer maybe, or four raka'at sunnah. So wait at least the amount of time between the two knocks in which, if you want to, if you don't want to, you can go back, you know. You go home, come another time, that's up to you. But some of the ulama said that this is the estimated recommended time. Okay, if we can act upon this, Alhamdulillah. If we cannot, then we know. We need to wait at least 20, 25 seconds, 30 seconds, at least half a minute between two knocks. So he says, yeah, this is the recommended time between the two knocks, because a person could have just started his prayer when you've knocked. And then he says, goes on to say, وَإِذَا طَرَقْتَ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ مُتَبَاعِدَةٍ وَوَقَعَ فِي نَفْسِكَ أَنَّهُ لَوْ كَانَ غَيْرَ مَشْغُولٍ عَنْكَ لَخَرَجَ إِلَيْكَ فَانْصَرِفْ. This is an amazing point. فَقَدْ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنَ أَحَدُكُمْ ثَلَاثًا فَلَمْ يُؤْذَنْ لَهُ فَلْيَنْصَرِفْ. رواه البخاري ومسلم. And then he says that we've learnt knocking softly, gently, spacing them out. How many times? 25 times? No. How many times? 10 times? No. How many times? 3 times. He says, when you knocked, so we remember, we've learned today, we knock softly and we knock only 3 times and space them out. So he says, the Sheikh author here, that look, if you've knocked or you rang the bell 3 times softly, spaciously, okay? You spread them out. After 3 times, now you know that, look, if this person was in the house, he would have opened. Or if he wasn't busy, he would have opened the door. If he wanted to open the door, he would have opened it by now. If he wasn't busy, then he would have come out to you and opened it. Then what? Just leave. Fansarif, go. Don't hang around. Don't think that it's your God-given right that you've come, you've walked 20 minutes, and he has to open the door. It's his house. Brother, if he opens the door for you, he will be doing a favor to you. Think of this. We must understand this. That if we go to somebody's house and they open the door for us, then they've done a favor. It's not our God-given right that they must open it. And that's why he says here, go. Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, this is a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنَ أَحَدُكُمْ ثَلَاثًا. When one of you goes and asks permission, knocks 3 times. Knocking is seeking permission. And he was not given permission, that nobody opened the door for him. Then فَلْيَنْصَرِفْ. Then he must leave. He should go. This is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Another hadith, similar hadith, again, muttafaqun alayhi, in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, which you can find. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu relates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, al-isti'dhanu thalath, knocking and seeking of permission is only 3 times. فَإِنْ أَذِنَ لَكَ وَإِلَّا فَرْجِعْ. If you are given permission, if they open the door for you in 3 times, then great. Otherwise, go. Leave. Don't hang around. Don't think it's your God-given right that they must open the door for you. Don't open the letterbox. That's haram, sinful. You can't see. It's absolutely sinful to go through and look through somebody's, not go through, sorry, but looking through somebody's letterbox. Seriously, it's absolutely haram. It's an unlawful act. It's haram in Islam. Great sin, grave sin, no matter how, you know, practicing you think you are, or I think I am. No matter how, you know, much we dress like a Muslim. But if you're going, and trying to go through somebody's letterbox and trying to see what people are, whether the shoes are there or not, it's haram. It's not our God-given right that they open the door for us. And as I said, some people have this really bad habit of looking through letterboxes. Some people go through the windows, you know, putting their hands on the windows and, you know, trying to see through the curtain. Oh, are they inside? Why isn't he opening the door for me? Subhanallah. And, you know, some people are even worse. They go around the back into the garden. You know, they jump over the wall into the garden, get into your garden and then trying to see if the back door is open. Why are they opening the door? A'udhu billah. Seriously, these are things like a person with basic moral ethics can never even consider, let alone a Muslim. Remember, Islam teaches us first of all to be human beings. This is the guidance, hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. Authenticated hadith, rigorously authenticated Sahih hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الْإِسْتِئْذَانُ ثَلَاثٌ Seeking of permission is only thrice. If you are given permission, if you knocked three times, the door was open for you, alhamdulillah, go in. Otherwise, وَإِلَّا فَرْجِعْ Otherwise, go. Just go back. Don't hang around. Don't force that person to open the door for you. And there's a story, you know, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, who related this hadith, who is the relator, that's the sahabi, the companion who actually relates this hadith, because he knew of this hadith. He's the person who related. So he once went to Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu's house, and he knocked three times. He didn't open the door, so he left. So Umar ibn Khattab, he called him, and he said, look, why did you go away? I was a bit busy, you should have waited. So he said, look, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I've heard it myself, you know, so that if you knock three times and somebody doesn't open the door for you, then go. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was remorseful. He said, subhanAllah, do you know of this? أَخْفَ عَلِيَّ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ This fact was hidden from me, from the matters of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I didn't learn this from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, subhanAllah, out of humbleness and humility, Umar ibn Khattab, he said, أَلْهَانِ الصَّفَقُ بِالْأَسْوَاقِ يعني الخروج للتجارة. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. I was too busy in the markets doing business and trade, and that's why I didn't learn this. This is actually a lesson for us that when we are too busy earning money and doing business, and we don't learn these kind of rules about Sharia, about making sure that after knocking three times, if we don't open the door for us, if they don't open the door for us, we should leave. And then finally, the Sheikh says, the last couple of lines in this section, in this point, in this adab and etiquette, وَلَا تَقِفْ عِنْدَ إِسْتِئْذَانِكَ أَمَامَ فَتْحَةِ الْبَابِ وَلَكِنْ خُذْ يَمْنَةً أَوْ يَسْرَةً فَقَدْ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا أَتَى بَابَ قَوْمٍ لَمْ يَسْتَقْبِلْهُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ وَجْهِهِ وَلَكِنْ مِنْ رُكْنِهِ الْأَيْمَنِ أَوْ الْأَيْسَرِ رواه أبو داود. The final etiquette here about knocking and going to somebody's house, he says, look, when you are knocking, don't stand right in front of somebody's door. Rather stand on the right or stand on the left. Don't stand right in front of the door. And then he says, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was a practice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to come to somebody's door, a family's door, when he used to come, he never used to face the door directly. He never used to stand right in front of the door. You know, those of you who go into Jama'at Tabligh, you probably know that they teach this basic etiquette, that when you knock on somebody's door, you move to the right. The Sheikh says here, right or left? Move to the right or move to the left out of respect. Look down, keep your sight low, down. Don't be right in front of the... It's right, isn't it? Not right in front of the door, because if they were to open the door, you might see something. You could see right through what's happening in their kitchen. Do you want to see the women cooking samosas and pastries there? Of course not. And that's why it's actually recommended for households to keep a curtain inside. Yeah, I mean, it's the responsibility of the person who knocks on your door not to look inside. But as, the owners of the houses, it's good, recommended that you keep another, like a curtain, and try to always keep that curtain drawn. So don't stand right in front. This, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to come to somebody's door, he never used to face the door directly. Rather, he used to stand slightly on the right or slightly on the left. This is a hadith recorded by Imam Abu Dawood in his Sunnah. By this, we come to the end of this point. Inshallah, iftar is right approaching. Just if you remember, in this last point, this etiquette, we've learned, subhanAllah, today, amazing stuff. We've learned that we should knock on somebody's door very softly, gently. We should make sure that we only knock three times, and we should space and spread out these three knocks. And then if they didn't open the door for us after three times, we should just go away. We should not force them to open the door. And when we stand near the door, we should stand either on the right or slightly on the left, inshallah. So we end with this. Jazakallah khair for listening. Until tomorrow, 6:30, I take permission to leave. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.